can you open your Bible? It's a new word. You may have read those scriptures over and over and over, but it will always show you a new word if you are willing to accept it. And that's the way that you should approach your prayer time and your reading time of the Bible. Look at the scriptures with fresh eyes each time. You'll see something new and different. And this morning, there is something very new and different in this word. And a couple of weeks ago now, we went on holiday. And I'm going to share a little bit about that. And Rebecca's going to sit there, my daughter, going, oh, she's going to talk about our holiday. But it's beautiful what I'm going to share. It's beautiful. It really is. But just before I go straight into the word, let's just commit this word to the Lord this morning. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship that we have already had this morning, the beautiful ministry through music from Stuart and his beautiful voice, Lord. We thank you that he is a living miracle. He has come through so many times of hardship that he now can sit and stand at the front of this church. He can lead the worship and he can praise and minister us through beautiful song, Lord. What a wonderful testimony. And that final verse, those words, Lord, that you have given him, so pure and so clear. We thank you for him. I thank you for every member of Living Faith Church this morning. I thank you for the people that work so hard behind the scenes that don't often get noticed. We've got Mark, we've got Liz that are on the media team and others as well that help with that, Phil included. And Lord, I just thank you for them. They come each week and they are so willing and open to do the will that you have put on their hearts. They stand out in their gifts, Lord. And Lord, this morning, as we hear from you through this word, I pray that each person at Living Faith Church will have a clear picture of what it is that you have put on their heart, their gift, the fire within them that will step out and they will do your will for the kingdom here on earth. Lord, this area of oral needs you. And we lift it to you this morning. There may be others out there that were wondering whether to come this morning. We thank you for those that have come. And we pray for those that will come in the future weeks. Lord, we thank you. And I just commit this word to you this morning, Lord. They are your words. Change, swap, rearrange. Just use me as an empty vessel this morning and fill me up, Lord, with your word. And I pray that each person will leave here this morning knowing they have met with a living Saviour. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh. Oh, yes. Oh, what a beautiful church we have. I think it's wonderful that I can stand here and see your faces because I do love you all. I really do. I can see little Emmanuel there who's doing so well. Love him a little kiss. He's such a lovely little boy. He really is. He's coming on so bold and strong. He's a living witness and a testimony to a miracle that took place. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, you know, I went on holiday with my family. I'm thinking about families this morning, and God gave us a week because we've had a very busy summer, or some people have had a very busy summer in our family. Our daughter's been back from university, and I don't want to embarrass her because she's here this morning, but she's been away quite a lot, making sure that she got time with her friends, and we had a week, a window of a week to go on holiday, and we were able to find a beautiful hotel in Lanzarote. And I was thinking about holidays, and I don't know about you, but years ago when you went on holiday, you always came back, and I had a disposable camera to start with, but then I had the cameras with the films, I'm showing my age now, those little reels that you had to wind on and then finish it before you could take. And I couldn't wait to get back off holiday and wind my camera on and go, oh, it doesn't matter about the ones that haven't been taken, I'll just use them up. I wasted them on pictures of the rabbits in the garden or whatever because I wanted to get to the film shop and I wanted to go and get them developed. Yeah? Does that ring true to anybody? Yeah? And you used to go and then you couldn't wait then. And it wasn't as instant as now. You had to wait a week, maybe sometimes. Wait a week, go and collect your photographs and then you couldn't wait. And then you were, oh, I've cut somebody's head off on that one. And it was quite interesting when you got them back. And I used to really enjoy that. I've always enjoyed taking photographs. And much to my husband's despair, our attic is full of boxes of photographs. And my holiday job this year was supposed to be clearing all those photographs out. I can't bring myself to do it because the memories, they're all memories. But at some point, my intention is to scan, get a little bit more up to date with the techie stuff, you know, scan them all in, and then I've got them there and I can put them on a computer and look at them. But I take such pleasure and delight in looking at photographs because they are memories, and the happy memories, aren't they, with holidays. So this morning, much to your despair, I'm going to share some of my holiday photos with you. Is that okay? Yeah? You okay? Are you with me on that this morning? Just a couple. I've already shown Kathleen a few in the cafe last Thursday, so sorry, Kathleen, you've had a sneak preview. Just a couple this morning. So when we went to Lanzarote, we booked a hotel, and it's called the Volcan. And when we got there, we were quite surprised at what we saw, because it looked like we were coming to a church. Isn't it beautiful? And there was the front, and it had a little tower at the side, and we weren't quite sure where to go. So we didn't go to this entrance. You had to go round the side and go in another entrance. So if you go to the next picture, please, Mark. And that was another shot from the front with a volcano on the side as well. So there was a church with a volcano. Very strange. And then the next picture, that was the entrance to our hotel. Isn't it beautiful? So we walked in and we sort of stopped, didn't we? And we were like, have we come to the right place? Like, we all slowed down with our cases. Is this right? It said reception this way. And then there was another sign that said reception. But when we walked into there, this is what we were met with. And we're going to try to get the video up. Can you understand why we thought we were in the wrong place? It was beautiful. It really was beautiful. On Sunday morning, I went and sat in there for a little time on my own. Beautiful music playing, and the candles were lit every day. Not all of them, but just odd few were just lit every day. And it was really sort of, well, it was quite bizarre, really, if I'm going to be honest, for want of a better phrase. It was quite bizarre because you were walking into this area and other people were doing it across the week. So when I went and sat there on the Sunday morning, two people came in with their cases and stopped. Like, whoa. You've come to the right place, yeah, this is the Volcan Hotel, reception's that way. It was the most bizarre but beautiful entrance to a hotel that I've ever been in. So if you go to the next picture, so this is the volcano and the top of the hotel, so that was what you could see from the front, and the top of the hotel was the volcano, and there my little feet there sunbathing. So I spent a lot of time sunbathing. I had a good rest on holiday. I had a very good rest on holiday. And what I discovered from reading into the background of the hotel was that the actual hotel entrance area had been very purposely built in that way. And it was a replica from 1730. There was a great eruption of the Lanzarote volcano. And it took place, and it completely transformed the landscape. It used to be very, very active, and it exploded, and it went on for 6 years. So the whole landscape of Lanzarote was changed. It used to be hot lava flowing. There was eruptions constantly, hot rocks and lava flowing from it constantly for 6 years. Imagine that, 6 years. And it started to make me think, as I was lying there by the pool and looking at that volcano every day, the Lord started to speak to me. And it got me thinking about us as believers in the church and maybe new believers coming to church in their early stages of Christianity and starting to really read the Bible and get to know the Lord and build that personal relationship with him. Really started to me to think, and I know Pastor Steve touched on fire last week, but are we on fire for the gospel? Are we on fire for Jesus? And I couldn't help but think about that volcano top, how it had been laid dormant for so long. Hot lava just sat dormant, not doing anything. But then 6 years of fire and hot rocks and lava flowing from it. And from a young age, you know, hearing my mum and dad, and I used to live just up the road here, and they used to have home group meetings in our front room, and I was only little, and I used to sit on the steps, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit came in that front room at our house. And I heard family members speaking in tongues, praying, the Holy Spirit's presence. I could feel myself as a young child. And I was attending church from a very young age, and I went to Billy Graham conferences, seeing people alight with the Spirit, seeing people completely washed, lying on the floor, alive with fire in them, with fire in them. And it started to get me to reflect and think about the volcano and how our lives should be like a volcano. We lay dormant sometimes, don't we? We talked about it with the fish in the aquarium, but that lava, and sometimes, friends, we've got it there and it's starting to rumble, but we're not really doing anything with it. It's there, just rumbling. But one day we want it to explode and we want it to build and we want the hot rocks and the lava to flow out of it. It's the overspill in our lives, isn't it? It's that overspill. And it really does make me think about the volcano and thinking about how we can be on fire for Jesus. And we should be on fire for Jesus. Don't shy away from people. Share the gospel. Be the light in this world, because this world really needs it at the moment. And people sitting here this morning, you may need it too. I want to just go to the next picture, if that's okay. They're the rocks that were left. And the hotel had actually very beautifully and carefully positioned them in different areas around the pool area. So I was watching the volcano each day that wasn't doing anything, but then the hot rocks that had been left behind were there, and you could see them around the pool area. The hot rocks that are now cold, reflected in the design of that hotel. But hot rocks, when they were hot, and that eruption was taking place for 6 years, hot lava flowing from us, the overspill from us, the overspill of the Spirit flowing out of us, setting others on fire. Hot rocks for Jesus. Amen. Are you a hot rock for Jesus this morning? Amen. Amen. Hot rocks for Jesus. I want to be a hot rock for Jesus. I want to share the gospel wider. I want this church, it would be wonderful if this church could be full. But it's as God leads. We might have a want and a desire in our hearts, but it's as God leads. But look at the numbers this morning. It's so wonderful to see. And new faces too. It's just a joy. The Bible talks about living stones. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 4-5, we are the living stones of today, the chosen people. And it's there on the screen for you. We are the living stones of today, the chosen people. We follow Jesus Christ. We are his family. And if we read further into verse 9, I'll read it from the screen this morning. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into this marvelous light. He has called us out of the darkness. We don't have to lay dormant anymore. He's called us out. We are the royal priesthood. We are his family. And in there is so much that we could talk. We could do a whole sermon around that scripture this morning, but time won't allow. He has called us out of darkness of this world and into the glorious light. And it's so easy in these days to focus on all the woes and foes and the dark things that are going on in this world, isn't it? Let's focus on the positive things. Let's focus on the positive things. Let's focus on Jesus. We sang at the beginning those beautiful worship songs, Jesus. He can break chains. He's above everything. He is above everything. We don't need to worry about the things going on in this world. We don't need to be troubled. We don't need to concern ourselves on a daily basis about what's going on. We need to be aware of it, but we need to share. We need to be a hot rock for Jesus. And that hot rock then will just carry on fire through the whole of this country. And we here, believe it or not, can do that. You have the power within you. The day that you became a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you and you are able to do that. Fire lighting fire. Pastor Steve talked about it last week. That little flame leads to a big fire. Do you know where I work? When it's bonfire night, you've got to be very careful a few weeks before because these mounds of wood and washing machines and all sorts of things, anything that they think might burn, go on a big pile on the estate where I work. And they are huge. You're looking up at this pile of things. Now, very often the fire brigade come now and take down some of it. It's not safe to burn. But believe me, there's washing machines on there. There's all sorts of metal and things that will spark. And it's unbelievable what they think will burn. But anything that they think will burn, they put on these big fires. Think about how it starts. A little flicker. Little flicker. It goes into a huge roaring fire. A huge roaring bonfire. Sometimes we hear about the grass fires, don't we, when we have really hot summers and the conditions are really dry. Rivington really suffered a few years ago that somebody was deliberately, sadly, letting cigarettes or matches go or using barbecues, and the fire spread. How quickly that fire spread on that grass. How quickly it went. If you think about yourself in that, as that little flame, that can be a big roaring fire. And you can be that big roaring fire. You can make that change and make that difference. Can you burn a few more holiday photos? Yeah. Yeah, a couple more? Okay. So we'll go to the entertainment. Yeah? I like sharing my holiday photos. So this was entertainment, and we didn't go to the entertainment in the evening. But one night, we'd been out for our meal, and we were walking back into the hotel campus, and we got through the gates, and this was happening. And we didn't know. Well, there'd been some adverts, but we didn't quite know what the adverts meant, so we didn't go to it. But it was a fire show. They called it a white light party. But we went and walked through, and it was just coming to an end. But when you look at the flames there, the ladies there with those two flames, they're only quite small to start. And then they lit other things, and they were swinging them round, and the flame was flying around. And I was thinking about us in church when we use the flags, if they had flames on top, we'd be throwing the flames around, spreading that fire. Maybe not in church, because it might not be safe, but it's that sort of thing that we're sharing, and we're fanning the flames of the Holy Spirit. And then the skipping rope. Wow! The skipping rope was dramatic. So it lit at one end and it soon went all the way through. It took seconds to light the whole of that skipping rope. And then they skipped with it. They skipped with it. And it made me again think about us as believers. The fire was catching. The flame started small. And when it caught big, it spread through the whole skipping rope. Imagine spreading the gospel as fast as a fire spreads. Just imagine being prepared to share the word of God. His word is too good to keep. I read my Bible and I want to tell somebody what I've read. We go to small group on a Wednesday, and if you're not in a small group, I would encourage you to ask one of us about joining a small group. It's just beautiful fellowship time together in someone's home. There's about three or four taking place on a regular Wednesday. And everybody is welcome. And we would really encourage you as a church to go to one of those. But you're sharing time together on a Wednesday. It doesn't have to be a Wednesday. If someone wants to start another night, that's absolutely great. But you're sharing your fire with each other. And it actually continues throughout the week. It continues throughout the week. It's too good to keep to yourself. And very often there'll be testimonies in our small group. And somebody will share a scripture that they've read, or Joanna will come and she'll say, I've had a scripture on my mind all week. And then we'll start to share it together, and there'll be a testimony that comes from it. It's just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful how the Lord leads us. So I just want us to think now. I think that's all the holiday photographs now, Mark. Just go to the next slide. Yeah, all the holiday photographs now. I just want us to think now about the phrase, on fire for God, on fire for Jesus. And it's a common expression amongst believers. Many of you will hear friends and fellow members of the church saying, I'm on fire. I've got a fire in me. I'm on fire. It can mean more than simply being excited about God. And when we go to the scriptures, and I've just highlighted just a few, the Bible includes several passages that relate to it, and they're there for you. I don't know whether the text is big enough this morning for you to, but if you want to make a note of the scriptures, you can go and read them at your leisure afterwards. Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus promises that believers will be witnesses for Christ. He promises that believers will be witnesses for Christ. We've got to do something there, though, haven't we? That's our responsibility, that we need to do something. But he promises that believers will be witnesses. And sometimes that does happen in the most bizarre situations. Has anybody ever come across that? Hands up if you have. That you've not really planned on sharing the gospel, but something happens in the week and you end up sharing the gospel. Yeah? Yeah. Several hands going up. The Lord just leads us, and he promises that believers will be witnesses for Christ. And in Acts 2, verse 11, believers who are on fire for God immediately become witnesses for Christ, telling others about God's mighty works, because it is too good to keep to yourself. And the goodness from you will flow out and share to others. And I'd like to think that members of Living Faith Church who are believers have got the Holy Spirit within them from the day that you gave your life to him, and it will be the overflow in our lives. As you follow our little life booklet, step by step, and that becomes a bedrock for your life, the overflow will naturally come. You don't even need to think about it. It will naturally come, that overspill, that lava, the hot lava throwing out from that volcano. And in Hebrews 12, verse 29, God is described as a consuming fire. Hallelujah. A consuming, all-consuming fire. And in 2 Timothy 1, 6, Paul says that people should fan into flame the gift of God. And we've prayed that for each of you this morning, that your gift will shine and you will use it in this church and within our communities and workplaces that we live. Some say that being on fire for God means being so hot that you're boiling. Hot stones from the volcano shooting out with excitement. Enthusiastic. We used that word last week, didn't we? Enthusiastic for the work of the church. The word. And enthusiastic about what God is doing in our own lives. The overflow to others that will then spill out. And if we're not enthusiastic, we're not going to be a very good shining light for other people, are we? If we come to church and it's, oh, I've got to go to church again on Sunday morning. Oh, really don't clean my teeth. Put it up, I might brush my hair. Put a bit of makeup on. Right, I'm going. I'm going to church. See you, love. Bye, bye, bye. It's not really going to be a light that shines. It's not really going to pass on the enthusiastic energy, is it? No. Get up on a Sunday morning, and even if your loved one isn't coming to church with you, right? I have got up. I've had a shower. I washed my hair. I have put on my Sunday best, and I am going to church. And I can't wait to get to church. And that's the way we should be. Skipping and jumping. Years ago, I shared a picture of, I think it was a penguin coming up the aisle. Boom, 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 boom. All enthusiastic. Boom, 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 boom. Not, no, 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 I want to get to church. Or you could be a polar bear. Oh, God, to church. Oh, I hope Pastor Steve's not going to be preaching on the same thing again. Can't listen to that again. Can't listen to that, Pastor Ruth. Oh, my goodness, she keeps going on about evangelism. Oh, No, on fire for church, on fire to be here. I wonder what a wonderful place it is. Do you know, I used to sing a song, "There's no place I would rather be than right here with the Lord." And I sang it coming to church for weeks and weeks and weeks. There's no place I would rather be than right here with the Lord. There's no place I would rather be than right here with the Lord. With the Lord. With the Lord. Right here with the Lord. With the Lord. With the Lord. Right here with the Lord. No place I would rather be on a Sunday morning. No place I would rather be. Hallelujah. We had to miss a Sunday because of our holiday, and it's not something I like to do. No place I would rather be than right here with the Lord. On fire for God can mean to allow God to burn inside you through the Holy Spirit. Your heart will be set on fire, and the more time you spend close to Him and His Word, so what ways that you're doing that, keeping close to Him. We have a little booklet for those of you that are new to the church. I would encourage you to take one of these afterwards and read it. And you can make a little commitment on the back if you feel led. But that is life, living in faith every day. And if you follow the steps in there, that will help you to have a close relationship with the Lord. Following the steps of our little life booklet can change your life. It really can. The Bible says that we are the light. A fire gives light. Let's be the light in Oral, in our homes, in our workplaces, in the restaurants when we go for a meal. Everywhere that we are, be the light for Jesus, on fire for Jesus, lighting up the whole of Oral. And you know, I do believe that we as a church can do that. Light up the whole of this area, each one of us here today, sharing that message wide and far. If we go to Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, I think we've got it on the screen. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house, so that everyone can see it. Don't hide your light. Shine it bright for Jesus. Let's not hide it. Let's shine it. Let the area be on fire with the gospel message. And if you don't know how to do that and you're not quite sure, come and speak to somebody afterwards and we'll give you some advice. But you know, it's just natural. When you've got that relationship with Jesus, it starts to become natural, because it will be in you through the Holy Spirit, and it will start to overflow out of your life, and others will see that. I was going to bring a rope this morning, and we've not got many children here, and I didn't feel led to do it this morning, but if we'd had more children here this morning, I was going to get the children with a skipping rope and pretend to light it. I wouldn't have really lit it. And seeing how fast that fire, how fast they could pick it up to get it to the end, that fire moving through. Because, do you know, our children must not be underestimated. Our children are sharing their fire. We hear testimonies from our children in our church, the wonderful things that they are doing, some going on mission trips, some of them with little cards and tracts that they give out in the schools. Isn't that a blessing? It's as simple as that. They're spreading that fire. Saying to people, let me tell you about a man called Jesus. I spoke to a homeless man, I think I've shared before, and I sat with him. I said, can I tell you about a man called Jesus? And he said, yes. And we sat and I told him what Jesus had done in my life. And he gave his life to the Lord that day. It was so beautiful. So beautiful, and it came so naturally. The Lord went before me with every word that I shared. It just overspilled out of me, because I wanted him to know that there was a better way, and I wanted him to know Jesus. My life is wonderful because of Jesus. I want others to have wonderful lives too. And if you care and you love people, that should be what you want for each other. It should. I've got some words. Does anybody know Anne Wilson? She's a singer. Worship? No. She sings a beautiful song, and it's My Jesus. And it's not the My Jesus that we sing in church. It's one she's written herself. And her testimony is that she lost her brother to a tragic car accident when she was very young. And she went in and saw her mum and dad heartbroken. In tears, they'd lost their son very unexpectedly. He was killed. And she had an overspill from her heart. And she shared Jesus with her mum and dad that day. The overspill from her life that went through to her mum and dad. And the words are this. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about a man called Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is, I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful song. Maybe we can play it at some point. It's beautiful. The Bible tells us to be ready to do that. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, it tells us, I don't know whether we've got that, Mark, or not. Have we got it on the next slide? Yeah. You're doing a great job, Mark. Thank you. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. People should be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks for a reason for their hope. She had hope. She was sad. She lost her brother, her eldest brother, but she overflowed her hope to her mum and dad. Let me tell you about a man called Jesus. I have a fire this morning. I'm actually shaking inside as I am sharing this word this morning because I want to tell people, and you may not know if you're sat here this morning, that there is a wonderful man called Jesus, and he went to the cross and he died for you. And you, as individuals, he died for you. And he knows every hair on your head, and he loves you so, so much. He wants the best for you. And he has got good plans for you. Tell you about a man called Jesus. I could talk to you for a long time about some of the testimonies that I've got about what he's done in my life, and he's still doing in my life. The verse suggests being ready with meekness and fear, but giving a logical defense, being gentle and respectful, and keeping a clear conscience, and being devoted to Christ. And there's a lot there, isn't there? But it's that meekness, but having the fear of God, because we must be true to ourselves and true to God. So we don't add any bits, it's straight from the gospel. Okay? Giving a logical defense, so making it make sense to that person that you're sharing it with, being gentle, respectful to them. We don't know what people have gone through. We don't know what suffering they've had. Keeping a really clear conscience yourself so that you are at the right place as well, and being devoted to Christ yourself, and that overflow will then come. The world needs that sort of hope, friends, doesn't it? It really does. Give hope for the hopeless. Hope for the hopeless. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit's leading. You'll have a sense as to who to speak to, who to share the gospel with, who to sit down and kneel with, who to pray with, who to share a tract with. Could be something as simple as our little cards that we have, leaving it on a tip tray. Could be as simple as that. I gave one to the lady in Tesco the other day at the Tills, and she had such joy on her face. She went, "For me?" Said, "Yeah, that's for you." And she'd given me one of those tokens, and I left the token because I was so excited to share. I didn't want to take the token. I walked off, and she was like, "You left your token." I said, "It's fine, you have it." She tucked it in her top pocket and said, "I'm going to read that properly later." Such joy on her face. It's so simple. It's the small things sometimes. It's that small flicker, that small flame that will spread. It is. The Bible has so many passages and scriptures that we could go into today, and I'm conscious of time, so I don't want to go into every single one, but I do want to share, because the Holy Spirit guiding people is so important, and we've had full messages on this over the weeks. But in John 14, verse 26, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will teach people everything and help them remember what Christ has commanded. But the Helper, he's our Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And as you are testifying and witnessing to people and you're sharing the gospel message, he is your helper and he will guide your every word. He will guide your lips and you will know exactly what to say. The Holy Spirit is a teacher who shows people the truth and helps them understand why to obey it and how to apply it as well. So obeying and applying it in your lives. John 16, verse 13, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will guide people into all truth and will only speak what he hears from God. And it's there. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Hallelujah. Beautiful scriptures. And we've got Titus as well. The Bible calls believers to yield to the Spirit and obey his direction in order to receive an eternal reward. And the words are there for you. Beautiful words from the scriptures. And again, spending those time and knowing the scriptures, they will speak to you and then they will speak to others as you speak to them. In Luke 11, 13, the Bible says that God gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask, and that the Holy Spirit can help people make decisions from God's heart, walk in victory, and be bold witnesses. I love this scripture. It's a beautiful scripture. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You just need to ask. He will fulfill the desires of your heart. Just ask him. The day that you became a believer, he came into your heart. You just need to ask him to become active like that volcano, not sitting dormant. Allow him to be active and flow out of you. He left us the Holy Spirit to direct and to lead. Let's ask him for his help. Let's ask for his filling. Let's ask for the fire of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and flow out of us. Doing that in such a way that other people cannot hesitate to say, there's something different about Agnes. Because she's flowing, that overflow in her life is flowing out. There's something different. We've already had testimonies from France just on that very thing. There's so much more I could say this morning, and I'm conscious I don't want to make it a long message. But the words of the great evangelist always sticks in my mind. And he was such close friends with Wesley Paul. And he used 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12, as something that we should always remember and base our lives on. This service you have performed is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Overflowing like the lava from that volcano. There was a reason I was sat under that volcano for a week. Don't ever forget the truth of the gospel. God delights in using you. I come to the cafe when it's the holidays, and there's beautiful ladies sat on that back row there that I see, and they are shining their lights. They're sitting in that cafe with their big smiles, and they're talking with other people and they're sharing with other people about the church and about the messages that they're receiving. And beautiful feedback sometimes comes as well, which was wonderful to hear on Thursday morning. He takes pleasure in you. He takes pleasure in each of you and what you do. He takes pleasure. He's smiling down on you. He wants the best for you. He really does. Woe, win, run. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel, and woe to you if you don't preach the gospel. I may be a pastor in the church and I'm standing here, but woe is us if we don't preach the gospel. You're all ministers in this church. Win as many souls as possible for Christ and run and get the prize. It's good to aim for the Lord's approval. It is good to aim for his approval. He delights in you. He loves you so, so much. He really does. Overflowing from us. Just think of the difference that you could make in someone's life if you tell them about Christ. Think about that volcano at the start and that fire that's just sitting dormant. Is it sitting dormant in you today? Or are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to activate it and let it flow out of your lives? This little church in Oral has the power through each of you to transform the landscape of Oral. Just like that volcano changed the landscape of Lanzarote. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah, believe it, friends. Let's activate it. Let's cause an eruption. Let's cause an eruption in Oral. Hallelujah. Let's cause an eruption. Let's be hot rocks for Jesus, sharing this message that will impact so many people's lives, breaking chains from all sorts of things going on in their lives. Be bold and be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Amen. Let's cause an eruption in Oral. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The fire, the change, the overflow, hot rocks for Jesus in this area and wherever you are in your lives. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Lord, we thank you that because of you, we can be the overflow. Lord, this world is temporary. We know that. And we are here for a temporary time only. And I pray for each person, myself included, that we will be the change. We will be that overflow. And we will be hot rocks for you. And we will share that gospel message to everybody that we meet, shining our lights for you, Lord, as you tell us in the Bible. We are the light because you are the one true light. And it's through you that this world will be defeated. We will be winners. We will come out on top. On top of that volcano, not just sitting there waiting, but flowing over the overspill in this area of Oral and beyond. And the work of our ticking network too, Lord, we commit that to you this morning. Those pastors out there doing such a wonderful job sharing the gospel. Lord, we thank you. We commit this word to you this morning. I pray that what you have heard this morning, friends, you will take and you will share. And it will impact on your lives. Lord, I pray that it will not sit dormant. It will bubble and rumble and overflow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Oh, we're going to close with a worship song. And I think, Mark, you will have already worked out which one. Praise God.